Blog Talk Radio.
Nalema kulila misozi, nikayanga na banja latu. Kupadwa sinabadwa mushe, koma lelo lipazulika. Nikale kalapo kondwela leloeka tutikumbukila kweta chokela amai.
Good morning on 3rd October 2015. Welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. My name is Nathan Nkama, hosting you from Dallas, Texas. Welcome back, everybody. The month of October is significant to us as the people of Zambia because it entails us getting into that independence mode of celebration. And this year we'll be celebrating 51 years. So beginning today and the rest of the month of October, I'm going to be doing a series I'll be calling Zambia the Next 50 Years. We'll be talking about a lot of different things and issues and whatever concerns and affects us as a people, those back at home in Zambia, and those of us that live abroad, commonly referred to as the diaspora. Roger, my good friend, thank you for a great discussion. We are continuing. I was chatting with Mrs. Lucas yesterday in the evening, and I told her, I said, I want us to do something on transparency. And I just left it open-ended. Thank God I did that, because Roger, you picked up the press and you started something, and I think we'll continue on that. So Zambia, the next 50 years, and we'll pick up from where Roger left off. The word transparency means able to be seen through, easy to notice or understand, or honest and open. That's what it means. We are going to talk about a lot of issues here to do with transparency. And one of the issues is that African, for that matter, the Zambian government, it's very difficult to get anything out of the African or Zambian government. We have issues of the budget, issues of governance, issues of issuing contracts, whether it's, and one of the things we have issue with as people, Zambians living abroad, is how the contracts are awarded for, the government is calling for, what do you call it? What's the word, Priscilla Roger? Investment? I'm looking for words, I can't even find them. Okay. Where did we end, Roger, in your previous discussion? What we need to continue from there. The issue here...
Yeah, so we our brother Kevin here wanted to know our discussion. We were talking about
give everybody a synopsis, because I noticed a few people were not part of the first discussion of coding, like Priscilla and other people. So let's pick it
so
up.
So we were
from
talking about the presidential charter, which was reported in the Watchdog, and the Post also reported it, and other media, that our president used a charter plane to move from, I don't know which country in Europe, to the UN. The basis of our discussion was that President Lungu is the sixth president of Zambia and the first one to spend this kind of money. We are talking about this money knowing the background is coming from. We are having a problem to pay our government workers. The military has just been reported, haven't been paid. So for the president to spend this kind of money, we found it unjustified, our economic conditions we find ourselves in. And therefore, we put it on the floor. Was this right for President Lungu to spend this kind of money to fly to New York? Kevin, I suppose you were in New York. Maybe you want to say something about this.
No, unfortunately, I couldn't make the New York trip. But see, here's what I think the problem is with us Zambians. We want to approach certain things too cautiously. Okay? I don't think there's anything wrong with the president chartering that plane. There are so many things involved. There's security involved, okay? The president might have spent 300,000, 600,000 to charter that plane, on a return trip. But look at the benefit of having the president here. How many business people is he going to meet? How many business people is he going to lure back into the Zambian economy? Uhuru Kenyatta just lured over $1.2 billion, you know, of new business in Kenya. We have to look at the benefit, not just the cost. Okay, I know a cost-benefit analysis is important, but look at the total benefit of having our president here. Let's not just look at cost.
Okay.
Here is the argument. I know you were not part of the discussion, Kelvin. Is it Kelvin or Kevin?
Kelvin with an L.
Okay, with an L. Obviously, you admitted yourself in the last segment that you didn't hear most of the discussion that Roger had with everybody. You've talked about security. Okay, let me give you an opportunity to respond to those two things. You've talked about the issue of security and the business benefit. The question I put to you, somebody who is, I'm speaking on behalf of somebody who doesn't agree with you. The question I put to you is that the president, like Roger put up the argument in the beginning of the discussion, was all the presidents have traveled commercial, they have never chartered a plane. So I want you to justify your security argument and how many business discussions did President Lungu have, and what business deals has he gone back with to Zambia?
Okay, on the question of business discussions, I wouldn't be privy to that information, but obviously, I mean, the president can't come all the way to the U.S. and not, avail himself to that opportunity. Secondly, the other presidents have traveled on commercial, but you have to look at the dynamics of the current, situation in the world. Okay, we have terrorists roaming these countries. You see that?
Yes.
So we have to factor those things into the president's travels.
Wow.
I like that argument. Roger, you wanted to bring up something?
Can I come in? Very, very quickly, Kevin. You and I, and I'm happy you have just reported that Uhuru Kenyatta got $1.2 billion, which I also talked about before you came. And Nathan, this is what he's asking us today. Let government explain to us what the president brought back to Zambia. How is it that we know about this deal for another country, and yet we have to fight over that information in our own country? The question of I don't know, Kevin, my brother, what to tell you. The question of security. We may find that there are a lot of presidents who came there who were not threatened, and only our president will be threatened. I find that very not a very fair reason to put on the table. Withstanding the reasons we are talking about here, we can't pay our teachers, we can't pay our government officials, we can't pay even our military. It's there in the news, yesterday's news. Our military, we couldn't pay them. And then you take a private chartered plane, we have a problem.
Roger, government operates on a budget. There are budgets for every ministry. There are budgets for the presidential travels and everything. So you tell me, if the president did not charter a $300,000 private plane, what would $300,000 have done to cushion payment of teachers, payment of the military, payment of the police? You tell me that.
Okay, I'll answer that for the last time, and others will say something about this. When you are working, Kevin, on a shoestring budget, the way we are working on a shoestring budget, we are telling the teachers, Kevin, to sacrifice. We cannot pay you tomorrow. Please understand with us. We can only pay you next week. When you are telling teachers that, and you, as a leader of the nation, you say, I can do things over the budget, then the country has a problem. When you, as a leader of the owner of the head of the house, you are telling the military, we don't have money, we may be paying you in 2 weeks' time, and yet you can charter a plane, then we have a problem. And this is why we vote. This is why we vote. There was another thing, Nathan, we were supposed to talk about, that you know, elections matter. What has happened in Nigeria? The new military has taken over. Boko Haram is in trouble. This is why we are concerned, Kevin. If we are not convinced with the reasons they are giving us, this is why elections matter. I will rest my case here and let others talk about this.
Okay, Dr. Kalonde, you wanted to come in?
Yes, I find Kevin is the reasoning very worrying to me, actually.
Yes.
As a professor, I look at this thing in a very systematic way. The president actually knew that he was traveling to UN. The first day that he came into office, he knew that there is UN conference at one point. Then the issue of $300,000, not kwacha, $300,000 to pay teachers, nurses, the military guys, that money could go a long, long, long way in kwacha. Now, here we go. If the president comes to the UN, then he meets business people, and he does not tell us what he has achieved on this trip. And unfortunately, my colleague, as Rogers heavily put it, knows what Kenyatta has done, and it is actually $4 billion that he has lured into his country. And our friend, our president, is busy dancing with the people that he came with from Zambia, and we think is luring business. That, I'm telling you. I can tell you, I'm capable of going to travel to New York anytime when he was coming to go, but I find it very difficult for me to go there because I don't think I would have kind ways for a president who charters a plane when his house at home is breaking down. Honestly, I borrow money in my house here to look after my children. Then I go to Hawaii for vacation. What would that mean to my children? The same thing he did. He did not go to Hawaii, per se. He came to UN, but he used the borrowed money. Why don't he just fly like everybody else? Every president has flown. I told you I flew from from Zambia, London, India, China, with President Chiluba, and you know what? It was on commercial flight. Even when we had to cut short our trip in Bombay because of the earthquake, all the same, we jumped on another commercial flight to Shanghai. We did not charter a plane. Come on, security? What security? Who's looking or hunting for Lungu?
Can you
anyway? Which challenge is that? Maybe am I
Professor, I think that's a very narrow way of looking at security. The dynamics of when Chiluba was president and the dynamics of the global world today are very different. There are terrorists targeting commercial airlines, you see. So you have to look at it not in that narrow perspective, Professor. Look at
Gentlemen,
can I say something, Nathan?
Gentlemen, hold on. Bianchi, I want you to respond, then we'll conclude this discussion. My subject this morning is Zambia, the next 50 years. The topic is transparency. Everybody start thinking about that. We shall proceed in that direction. Bianchi, I'll let you have the last word on this.
Well, I kind of agree with everyone else. If you were going to start a business, you went to the bank to borrow money. Well, if you're behind in your mortgage, if you're behind in your car notes, if you're behind in your credit card debt, i.e. your teachers and your military payments, would you think that the bank will enter into a contract with you? And another point, the Zambian military that was used as a peacekeeper for the UN, the UN paid the money in order to compensate them, and even that got squandered. So I doubt very serious if he was going to be able to talk up any business based on people having an inkling that those things was going on. And as far as terrorists is concerned, you know, we always make jokes that African American could travel any place in the world and nobody would kidnap them for a ransom because
exactly.
they broke. Thank you very much.
Okay, last week, thank you, Bianchi. Last week we announced, I need to mention this to everybody. By the way, good morning. Thank you for coming back, Dr. Patrick. George, good evening in Australia. I appreciate you coming back and everybody else. Last week we had announced that we're going to be hosting the Energy Regulation Board Executive Director. Ladies and gentlemen, everything went well. They agreed. I don't know whether there's just a virus or a bug going around for Zambian top officials pulling out of interviews. That's besides the point. For some reason, I got a word or notice that she wasn't going to be able to make it, but that's fine. I just wanted us to discuss the issue, Zambia's energy policy, okay, investment policy and how things work, where does ZESCO stand on all these things, and that's what I wanted us to talk about. This year, Zambia will be celebrating 51 years of independence. We've had 50 years behind. Let's look at the next 50 years. The word I want us to look at today is transparency. When it comes to our nation, George, I'm going to come to you. Get ready to go on this one. When it comes to the word transparency in Zambia, it doesn't matter from what angle you want to come, Kelvin, Dr. Kalonde, everybody who has called in. The word is transparency. George, I want you to start. What would you say about the word transparency as it relates to the way we have done business in the past 50 years, and how should we proceed in the next 50 years?
Jay, I can almost see my words coming out all jumbled up and I haven't thought about them. On the spot. Okay, I'll say that if you talk to many Zambians, they would not agree that that Zambia is transparent in the sense that of what they would like it to be, right? Even if you say it's mm-hmm. transparent, I'm sure they'll tell you that it can be a lot more transparent. I work for a university. I'm in the education sector. I'm passionate about education and about IT stuff. So, for example, a good example, we had ministries and now they've been divided and split up and chopped up. We have had ministries for a very long time in Zambia. I gambled with somebody and said, I'll give you 1,000 kwacha if you can tell me that all Zambian ministries have websites, right? I'll give it to you. So for me, part of the transparency thing is the information, right? You talk to any Zambian in the diaspora, they'll tell you, I don't know. I don't have enough information. And even the thing we're talking about, the 300,000 jet thing, you know, if all the figures were on the table, we wouldn't be discussing this, right? Because you could hear many people's arguments are coming in from different angles. Why? Because we don't have the information. So my take on transparency in Zambia is, you know, do what the UK is doing, open government, give us the data, let us crunch it up and we'll see whether you're telling the truth or not, okay? So, yeah. Definitely need more transparency in Zambia, just like anywhere else. Would like to see the government and other people push that front a lot harder because I'm kind of still not seeing it.
Nathan, let me just add on to what George just said. When we look at transparency, why transparency? Why do we need to be transparent? One is to do away with speculation, so to say. People are going to be enlightened, and people are going to know to even put their best to do something. I'll give you an example here in Canada. Canada is one of the few places with a very high tax. People are so happy to contribute to taxes. One of the few boys I used to work with, younger than me, he would say, I don't care paying for taxes. I would want to contribute even more if I can. The reason is that at the end of the year, at the end of the month, line by line, here in Alberta where I am, the government shows each minister, if they drank tea using taxpayers' money, they'll put it on the website. And therefore, people have the appreciation of what government does and do on everyday basis, and therefore can help government. Okay, I think we have a problem here. Let's fill in. fast forward our own countries, most continent of Africa, we don't want to share any information, good or bad. But guess what? As Dr. Patrick who agree with us, people, we are inclined to choose things which are negative, Nathan, and we will go on that. Let the governments of Zambia, the governments of Africa, not blame their people, but they should try to be transparent because it is for their own good.
Mm. Okay.
I could comment on that too, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, transparency shouldn't. Transparency that we look for. Transparency is not when you have a government official stand up and unfold a ledger that's 10 foot long, cluttered with notes and numbers. Transparency is when you can ride down a road that's a great road. Transparency is when you can see agriculture and the production of that agriculture is locally done and you can buy it in your local grocery store. Transparency is hospitals. Transparency is manufacturing production. Transparency is shipping. That's the type of transparency which now is invisible that people need to see in order to give an accounting for what their government is doing. I hope to see that in the next 50 years if I'm around coming out of Zambia.
Transparency, transparency is also having a plan in place to do something with what information you're getting. If if you just have transparency and do not have a plan to respond or react to what you've just learned or what you've just heard, then it's just a paperless bit of information that you've just been given. You must always have an action to respond to what you hear and what you ask for.
Exactly. I think, Dr. Patrick, hence the need for transparency, because it's going to give us now appropriate reactions to we have seen here government ministers resign. That is as a result of being transparent. We've seen development of roads. That is as a result of being transparent. Exactly. I agree with you, Dr. Patrick. Transparency, we need it because of the results it gives us.
Okay. Can I come in? This is Matilda. Could I come in?
Before I go to Matilda, hold on.
Yes.
I want everybody to know that I just asked a friend from Malawi to call in. Jimmy, welcome.
Oh, welcome, everyone. Come on.
Yeah, welcome, my friend. The discussion is about transparency. Like I told you, I want you to listen as we continue. Then Zambia and Malawi were both independent in 64, I believe, if my memory serves me right. And we are looking at Zambia the next 50 years. Now, Jimmy, I want you to listen as the conversation goes on. And when you are ready to jump in, I'd like you to give us the Malawian perspective. I know you are very politically motivated. We are friends on Facebook, and I follow the things that you write. There's the issue. One common factor we have about our two countries is, I believe the president also chartered a plane to come to the UN. I would like you to comment on that as well. Matilda, you go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much, Nathan, for this opportunity. This is a great question. Different views, some of them I agree with, some of them I'm a little bit wary. But the angle that I'm going to come with but in regards to transparency is, and also Dr. Patrick just touched on that, is what you do with the information or what kind of information are you going to be transparent with. Looking at our people, Zambians, whether they are in Zambia or here, sometimes we are hungry for certain information. And how we use that information sometimes can be not very productive. So how transparent do we want the government to be? I mean, to what levels? Just like, example, in a corporation, there are things that the people in the C-suite will know of, but they will have to share that information carefully as it is rolled down to the people who are entry-level workers to avoid panic. I'm not saying that to mislead them into thinking that the company is thriving and yet the door's about to shut, not that kind of a thing, but to where you are careful with information or giving it in doses that people are going to be able to understand according to their level. So with the government, when we ask for them to be transparent, to what levels are we asking them to be transparent? And if I ask them to be transparent with everything, are we not going to become more critics than people who want to use it for a positive thing? You know, we are very good at criticizing each other and say, they should have done this, we should have done this, but we're not very good at being hands-on. So my question is, how transparent should we be?
Yeah, Matilda, that's a good question. I'm going to go to Kelvin. Kelvin, and please, let's not restrict ourselves. I know the major, you can't run away from this. I'm the first person who will tell you that. The major player in African activity or life is government. Government has got its hands in everything, especially in Zambia. Kelvin, how transparent has our education system been, our business community and world in Zambia been? How transparent has the civil society been? You can respond in any way you wish.
I would like to concur with Matilda, and her thinking is in the right direction. When it comes to transparency, especially with the government, there's two pieces of information here. There are state secrets, and there's information for the public. The issue here is, I think us as Zambians, we depend too much on the government to do for us, okay? The government can lay a platform. It is up to us. The government has the Public Procurement Agency, I think PPA, okay? It's not up to the government to regulate how the PPA shares information about tenders, about, you know, contracts and things like that. It is up to those people in those organizations to develop a system which enhances transparency. You see, the biggest issue I think I've noticed in Zambia is that we do not have a collaborative system. We don't have a process in place. You see, a lot of things are just mumbled and jumbled up. If we had the system, look at the U.S., for instance. Okay, before you can do something, there's a precedence for that. There's a knowledge base. So it's a question of developing a knowledge base. And as you go, you gather all this information, you put it all together, and you create what are called best practices. If something is done and looks out of the ordinary, it should not be condoned, you see? So it's a question of Zambia developing a proper system, Zambia developing proper processes, and Zambia, you know, enhancing internal controls. That's what my thought would be if we have to achieve transparency.
Well, Kalonde, I want you to respond to Kelvin. Build up on what Kelvin has said.
I'll start with my sister, Matilda. She was 100% correct in terms of what information and what information should be taken to the people. But the fact is this, you see, when people talk about transparency, they are talking about the information that is supposed to be proved to the citizens. We're not talking about state secrets. There are state secrets, corporate secrets. Yes. So here we are. The problem that I look at, in the 50 years, I think I'm so optimistic that the new generations that are coming in, I think they'll be thinking positively and they'll do the right things because they are exposed to normal ways of really leading a country. Now, here is the thing. It is a culture. It's a political culture that we have in Zambia or in Africa that everything is secret. The ministers, the presidents, people in government, they are top of everybody. So they are not answerable to anybody. If they were answerable to people, then we would have known this we have. Everything would be transparent. The other problem is, somebody cannot be transparent if you are doing something wrong. If I'm doing something right, definitely I'll be transparent. So that's where we have a problem. We have budget, and if the budget is supposed to tell us the truth, why even hide the budget or why do things behind the budget telling us that you didn't do this when you did something else? The transparency is in because of corruption, stealing, and all such things. Lies, that is why we have no transparency. It's because they're not telling the truth. That's all. If I'm telling the truth, why should I not be transparent?
Before I go to area code 424, 424, good morning.
Good morning.
Ah,
this is Erica.
Good morning. Oh, hey, Manawakwitu, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Before I ask you what you experienced in Kenya and everything else, those that have been on this forum for a long time, you know the history that we've had the challenge here, Kelvin Wakalonde. Roger, how many times have we asked our government officials here to give us the unemployment rate in Zambia? They refused to answer that question. Do you know what one government official said when we asked them a question here, Wakalonde, about the unemployment in Zambia? You are trying to alarm the nation. You are trying to alarm the nation.
Because they're doing something wrong. They don't know. They're just there to eat.
I'm saying to myself, how am I trying to create, to alarm the nation, Dr. Patrick? I just want you to tell us what the unemployment rate is in Zambia. Maybe Dr. Patrick can help you see, for me, when I say government officials, please, it's not PS. We've been dealing with all the governments that the MMD and all these guys, and every time everybody is in power, we see they think we are anti-government. So I've stopped worrying about what anybody thinks about it anymore. Dr. Patrick, why not give me the figure about unemployment and you are telling me I'm trying to alarm the nation? Why? America does that every month.
There's more ways than one to skin a cat. Usually when you ask the question of that magnitude to a politician and the politician do not want to find themselves in the soup, they will give you the answer they just gave you. But there are other areas and other sources we can go to get that very answer. It doesn't necessarily have to come from that politician. So if you get an answer such as what he or she gave you, then that means you have to go to other sources. You have to go to the World Bank. You have to go to neighboring countries. You have to go to news media, global news media. You can even go to Yahoo. You can track this information down. So that should be something that I call an antenna raiser. When you get that type of response, your antenna should go up, and that means you should start digging and digging in order to get the answer. And once you get the answer, you come back, you go back to that person and ask the question armed with that information.
Okay. Jimmy, before I go, after Jimmy, then I'll go to Yareka. Jimmy, I think you've listened enough. I want you to respond from the Malawian point of view. What is the transparency situation in Malawi?
First of all, thank you, Reverend Kama, for considering me on this debate. Like, it's very uplifting. And it's very interesting. I didn't know that in the U.S. you guys discuss such things.
Yeah, we do. You're welcome every Saturday morning at 7 your time. Jimmy is in New Mexico like Patrick. So, Jimmy, you post a lot of things on politics to do with Malawi. Where does Malawi stand on the issue of transparency?
First of all, I have to define what everybody has to define what transparency means in life, in real life. Because for me, from my perspective view, transparency means being accountable to people. To be answerable. Whatever you are doing, you have to be open, not to hide things. And people have to question where things are wrong. Explain why and how it happened. That's being transparent. You know, transparent, a leader should be accountable to his people. Or anybody who is leading a group of people has to be accountable to his people. He should know that he's responsible for those people and whatever he's doing, he's accountable to that. You know?
Yes.
So, considering Malawi, Malawi is a difficult country to understand. You know, I really don't know the political atmosphere about Zambia. I read a lot about Zambia. I've been following Kenneth Kaunda, from Kenneth Kaunda, Chilula, from Chilula, Manawasa, from Manawasa. It came Rupia Banda, from Rupia Banda. Now it's Edgar Lungu. You know, I've been commenting on Zambian articles a lot, like Mwebantu, whatever, and there are a lot of Zambian articles I follow. You know,
That's Yareka's relative. You hear that accent?
because our president
Jimmy, let me just stop you and ask you a direct question. Did Mutharika lease a plane for $300,000?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This is not transparent because now Malawi is in the verge of collapsing with the economy. Economy is very bad in Malawi. You know, people are dying in hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Schools have been closed. There's no fund. People have no education.
Schools have been closed?
There's no fund. Now the primary schools and secondary schools, they were subsidized by government. Primary schools were free. Now they introduce fees to poor people who cannot even afford a dollar a day. Now they are introducing fees to those people. They are saying the government has no money, you know. So they are trying to raise money. It's understandable. People have to pay. They have to work hard to pay for their school. But how do you do that thing? You impose those very, very financial hardship to people, yet you take you take 115 people in your full jet, all your party zeros, your members, your friends, party friends.
Did
you pack them in from
Bianchi, Bianchi, did you hear that? I referred to that before this guy. Did you hear that? 115 people, delegation.
Yeah.
What's wrong with our president?
But what is this thing is that if you do that, that you have money or you have something, that's another thing. But you impose on poor people who cannot afford a dollar a day. And the country has no electricity to supply. The country has no people, they are rationing water to people, rationing electricity. People have no food, wunga, to buy wunga. Oof, it must be oof, I say. The way you see, my man, they just ration 1 meal a day. You pack your people, 100, your passes wrote that you friends, you whine in state house, they help you, whatever, corruption to rig election to be on power. All those friends, you pack them in a jet from Lilongwe all the way to United Nations to New York. You book expensive hotel, expensive meal for those people. And we wasted over $2 million
US dollars. Wow.
That is a lot of money compared to Malawi. If it was Nigeria, that's another country. But Malawi is the poorest country in Africa and probably in the world. You know? So those things doesn't make sense. So he goes here, but when he goes back there, he says, we have to be fragile. We have to be economical. They impose those on people. Where he's not being accountable for whatever he's doing, you see? So it's very alarming and it's very upsetting. You wonder why this professor, he was in New York. He has been in the U.S. here for 30 years. He was teaching in Chicago, and he's the guy who is very knowledgeable. So you wonder, what kind of thinking is that? You know,
what's happened to him? Okay, Jimmy, let me stop you there, then I'll go to Yareka. Let me acknowledge we have somebody calling in from the UK. UK, good afternoon. Hello, UK?
Nathan, can I say something?
Yes, UK, you are. Well, I need to go to Yareka here. Just a moment. Hold your. UK, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Lazarus Stella. I'm calling from Scotland.
Say that again.
My name is Lazarus Stella. I'm calling from Scotland.
Oh, Scotland. Welcome, Lazarus. Have you followed our discussion?
Yes.
Okay,
oh, yes, following the discussion. I missed out a little bit on the beginning. So I just got the explanation, the discussion from Malawi. So is it possible to give me just a brief free on what is going on?
What is happening is, when you say what is going on, is what our topic of discussion is?
Yes. That's what I wanted
to
know.
Yes, our topic, we are going to do a series for the month of October called Zambia, the Next 50 Years. Today's discussion today our discussion is on transparency. How transparent is our country, our leadership style, and our way of doing business? So that's what we are talking about. Yeah, let me allow a colleague of mine to comment, then you can come in if you have something to say. Yareka, go ahead.
Yes. Already I have.
I think for me, what I think what needs to happen is the government needs to demand a certain level of accountability from its citizens, and the citizens need to demand accountability from the government. And I think someone already talked about, setting up internal controls and all that. We can set up all the internal controls we like, but as long as we are not even following those internal controls, it doesn't make any sense. Nobody will be accountable to anybody. And internal controls are very expensive. And knowing the where we are as Zambians, we want something perfect, something, some people can't even follow it. And what I learned just now on my trip to Kenya is, the citizens demand from their government. If the government is not listening, they go to court. And this is how they handled the teacher issue. The teachers went to court, and then the government started fighting with the judicial system. So it was now out of the individual hands, and it was the government now could not push things. So I think we need to be a little bit more flexible in the way we do things in Zambia. We're just too complicated. We have to keep things simple. We have to make it easy for the regular person to hold government accountable, and which means information has to be relevant. Even when we talk about government traveling and spending so much money, a normal person, just a regular person, might just think, okay, the president needs to go wherever they're going and they'll spend whatever. So, but how do we translate that to a marketeer or, someone on the street? How do they understand? How does it affect the budget in the long run? So I think we need to start thinking about solutions that are relevant to Zambia, not really comparing with other countries. We need to start solving our problems with what we have. And, then the transparency will follow. Right now, it's about transparency, but there's a lot missing. There's a lot that's right.
Okay. Lazarus?
Yes. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I've been trying several times to get the opportunity to say something about the Zambia that I love so much. Talking about the issue of transparency in Zambia, for me, this comes back to a very important issue. This is the 21st century. We're looking at doing something different from what we've been doing the last 51 years. Mm-hmm. If I look at how Zambia can develop in terms of being transparent, the basic things that Zambia needs to do is to have its structures, government structures in place. At the moment, when you look at Zambia, the way it's running, there are no structures at the moment. In terms of the ministries, these structures which can make a country transparent begins with the 21st century computerizing government institutions. If these institutions are not computerized, it will be very difficult for any ministry to be transparent. Every Zambian that is listening, or every African that is listening to this radio, should be able to agree with me that there is no way where you are using a book, a receipt book, to collect government revenue, and you expect that person who's giving you a receipt from a receipt book, to be able to be accountable for that money. That begins in the house. It's from the house, in the inside of the government. This paperwork must be stopped immediately if we have to start to be transparent. Immediately we start computerizing these government institutions, we'll be able to monitor. It will be the public that will be able to say, yes, this is happening and it's working. Right now, the revenue that is collected in Zambia, nobody knows, and no one is able to be accountable, to that, because it's written on a piece of paper. Only one person knows about it. And this is the practice that is there in Zambia. And I tell you, I believe every Zambian that is listening knows that we have more than 90% of government accountants, those accountants who are working in these government institutions, who are computer literate. And they are doing it deliberate so that this money which is collected goes into their pocket. No one will disagree with me that there are so many homeowners in Zambia. The council owns the entire land, but this is a council that has no money. This begins with the house. Secondly, my brother, the issue is that the Zambian government should operate as a business. If the government operates as a business with a business model, it will ensure that every minister that's running a government institution is able to be accountable and be able to say, yes, these are the structures I put in my ministry that will raise money. And if these ministers are given that task to say, yes, I've appointed you as Minister of Health, you tell me the structures that you put in place that will ensure that every Zambian has a doctor, a GP. Tell me. And this will be able to make every minister work for his money and demand results. I've said personally, I feel that the way we Zambian government is run is not the way the forward to develop. I've lived in the United States. I've lived in Namibia. I've lived here in Scotland for almost 13 years. I've had education in all these countries, and I've seen the best practices that we can take to Zambia. And there's no way, my brother, this is going to happen before Zambia realizes that they must computerize their government institutions and put structures.
Exactly.
Can I say something? You just mentioned something very, very important. Can I say something?
Hold on.
Yes, can I say
Nathan?
Yes, go ahead. Yes. Okay. Can I continue, my brother?
No, yes, but let the people respond. We have a little time remaining here, and I want us to make a conclusion. Who's saying they want to say something?
Nathan, Kelvin.
Kelvin, okay, briefly.
Nathan, can I come in too?
Okay.
This is Jimmy. I wanted to say something a little bit before you close.
Okay,
Jimmy.
Kelvin, go ahead. Then before Kelvin responds, George, I want you to prepare to respond to the – we need to stop the paperwork. Dr. Patrick, I want you to get ready to respond to government should operate like a business. Okay, Kelvin, go ahead.
And Nathan, can you give me a time too?
The gentleman from Scotland, I like the passion and the emotion in him. Yes, we need to stop the paperwork. When I talked about creating a system, creating processes, that's exactly what I was talking about. Computerize these things, okay? What I don't agree with him is government should be run as a business. No way. Government is not in the business of making a profit. If we run government as a business, you're asking government to be looking at what profit did we make. No, we can't do that. We need a system.
Okay.
We need a process. We need to computerize these things, period.
Okay. Dr.
Yes,
Patrick,
can I respond to that?
Lazarus,
brother,
wait.
Can I respond to that?
Just wait, Brother Lazarus. Dr. Patrick, since Kelvin has counteracted that point, I want you to build on this and sort of guide us. Lazarus says government should operate as a business. Kelvin says it can't happen. Is there miscommunication here, Dr. Patrick?
I agree with Kelvin. Government cannot and should not operate as a business. The government is basically the engine that can move the country along. And as far as in order for the engine to move, you have to put the oil, you have to put the money in it. And that oil and money in it is business. You should not mix the two, because as soon as you mix the two, then that's when corruption will really, really rear its head. If a business person can pay a government official to do his or her bidding, then you'll find that the government has no place in the situation where it is for the people and by the people. People vote the government in. Yes.
Yeah. Lazarus, 1 minute. You want to respond? I want us to move to George to respond to stop the paperwork, and then Jimmy will come in. Please, briefly.
Exactly. You know, when I say that the government should operate on a business model, what I mean is we have different ministers in the government. And these ministers, the system at the moment which operates, is that each ministry must be able to establish structures that to be able to raise money for the government. The Zambian government has been struggling all along. If, for example, a minister of local government has got this business model in his structures, whereby he says, in my government, in my ministry, we'll be able to raise money through this way and that way. They have put the structures. I'll give a simple example. Parking tickets. Here in Scotland, where I live, the parking tickets system they have had here have raised billions of pounds this year. Last year, they raised billions of pounds from parking tickets. It's because these guys, they understand that there's no way you can run a government borrowing money. You have to raise your own money.
I'll stop you there. I think you've communicated your point. Everybody, next week we're going to be talking about education, and George is going to lead that discussion. I want to encourage you to join in and to be part of this discussion. Jimmy, I'm going to need you on this one too to give the Malawi picture. Now, Lazarus, if you're available. George.
I'll be available.
Stop the paperwork. Stop the paperwork. Can you are an IT person. How workable is
that? Nathan, I also want to add something about internal controls.
Okay, just wait, George, respond. The time is gone, people. We'll continue.
Okay.
Let's just call in every Saturday. Our theme is going to be Zambia the next 50 years, the whole of October. So, okay,
yeah,
George, go ahead.
Allow me to put it in two points. There are places in Zambia right now that have mobile internet and have no running water. You just think about that for a second, okay?
Oh, wow.
There's mobile internet. Meaning I can talk to that person, I can chat to that person, and there is no running water, and women walk kilometers to go fetch water. So you just think about that minute, okay? The technology is far ahead while the infrastructure is 200 years behind. Let me finish. Okay, so that's
please,
number one.
People, please.
That's number one, okay? So you think about that. So that you come to the same conclusion as me, which is the technology is far ahead. Therefore, the tools that we have today are far ahead, and we should start using some of these new tools, okay? Number two, I did a course on generating wealth of nations in which somebody asked the question, something along, should we send these educated economists to some developing countries to go give them some advice on what they should do? And I said, no. What you need to do is educate the people, give the people the information, and the people, once they're educated and fully informed, they will make the right choice. Right now, I'll tell you, there is not enough information for us to be solving some of these problems, and we can't fix something that we can't measure. Let us measure it, and then we improve it.
Excellent. Jimmy, you wanted to respond to something?
Yeah, a little bit. I wanted to say that the other guy, gentleman, is it Kevin or whatever, he said something very stunning about abolishing the paperwork in government and using technology like computer to store that government data and information so that it can be tracked. That's very, very crucial in Africa. That's why we're still way back, because it lacks political will. It lacks political will. If the president or the minister or the parliament can stand up and say, these billions, we'll buy computers for every government parastatals. Nobody should be writing on paper and putting there. All the data should be transferred into computer. That can at least reduce drastically the corruption that is happening in Africa. But the lack of political will from the top to the bottom, they know that they are stealing from there. There is a system that they siphon the benefit from that old system, and to change it to come to a new system for them, they will be exposed. So all it goes back to lack of transparency, you know. So you cannot write things like you are collecting revenue from the government and you still write on a paper. Somebody has to say that paper and
Can I add something, Sibuin?
There is someone calling from Zambia.
What is political will from the head, the higher authority.
Okay, Jimmy, hold on. We have somebody calling from Zambia. Brian, is it Brian Mutambo? No.
Yes.
We have Where is the person calling from Zambia? I'm looking.
I've opened
for
the mic. Is there Brian Matambo?
Hello. Okay, Brian.
Hello.
Yes, Brian, go ahead. Thank you for joining
us. Are you able to get me? Thank you.
Yes,
are you able to get me? Okay, awesome. The topic that you have today, and I just
Brian, your line is not very good. Try to get close to the mic or something. Okay. Are you there, Brian?
Can I say something quickly while he's fixing himself?
Okay. 40 seconds, Yareka. We are finishing here.
Yes. My point is that everyone's talking about internal controls, changing systems. It all costs money. Zambia, the cost of technology is very high. I don't believe the government can afford to change systems and even train people and even instill that sense of accountability that we're looking for. I think we should focus on looking at alternative ways to for transparency, which is compensating internal controls, not the way we're imagining it. It's not possible.
That's
right
why
now.
Next week we are going to be talking about education, and I want us to see. Yareta, somebody right there just threw a big brick at me and say, if they didn't spend $300,000 on the jet, they can invest it in what we are talking about. That's what somebody is saying on social media.
No, I understand.
And Brian, are you there? Okay.
Can you get me now?
Okay, listen, everybody. I know we are very passionate about this, and we want to listen. The show starts at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. There's a two-hour segment where you can pour your heart out, okay? This is just 1 hour. I'm just giving you time. Lazarus Mwamfa, Jimmy, we start at 9 Eastern, I believe. I'm just giving you the time. Everybody, please, we start at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, 6 Pacific. Join us every morning.
What about Mountain? What about Mountain time?
Mountain is what time?
Seven
is right, Roger?
Same time as me, Bakalumba. Yeah.
Bakalumba.
So,
7.
Yeah. So we start 3 p.m. Zambian time. Those who are not connected, 3 p.m. Zambian time or 9
p.m. Zambian
time. Yeah.
2 hours
so
where you can
nine...
pour your heart out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, thank you for taking the time, and everybody. I know 1 hour is not enough time. The whole of October, our theme is Zambia the next 50 years. Next week, I'm talking about education, okay? That's what we're going to talk about. I want to encourage everybody to participate. The 9 a.m. or 3 p.m. Zambia time, that's an open forum where Roger brings up a lot of things. You guys can pour your hearts out on that segment. Join us next week again. Let me say I apologize. We're supposed to have Energy Regulation Board, but they didn't show up there. And we are working on some of these things, okay? Everybody, thank you. Dr. Patrick, it's always a pleasure. Pianchi, good stuff. Kelvin, Rakalonde, everybody. Matilda, thank you for your encouragement last night when I didn't even know what to do or what to say. Roger, she just told me and say it will work out. You guys always make things work. And,
of course. We need a part two of this, Nathan. You just can't leave us on a cliffhanger. Education will come the next week. This has to continue. I'm just kidding. It's your show.
Zambia, the next 50 years. Have a great weekend, everybody, and thanks for your passion.
All right.
Wishing I would land upon a way. Wishing I wish you right if you're left. Why up on my own way? For sure.